Advancing the Kingdom, Part 4. Today I would like to talk to you about talents, abilities. You know, when we advance the kingdom of God as a Christian, we have time, talent, and treasure. We've talked about time, we've talked about treasure. I would like to talk to you about talent. The anointing that God has given to you before you were created in the womb of your mother. God saw Jeremiah the prophet before he was ever created in the womb of his mother, and God anointed him. God made a path for his life before he was ever even created. That's God's business, and God has done that with you as well, Christian. He's done that with you. He's given you anointings. He's given you talents. He's given you abilities. He's given you opportunities. That's all the same thing, basically. It's all the same thing. Now, let me just come out right out the gate. There are people in this world today who practice witchcraft. They're into clairvoyancy, they're into reading palms, fortune telling, playing all those dark demonic things and trying to speak to the dead and things like that, and bringing back information from the grave of your loved ones, which is all demonic. But let me just tell you this, the people who practice those things, not all, but most of, because some of them, a number of them are just con artists. They are. They've been taught to do con. But there are a number of people who do that, who were truly anointed by God to have the gift of faith. Now, when you know, as a Christian, we're saved by faith through Christ alone, right? But the Bible talks about a different kind of faith. When it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it talks about the gift of faith. This is a different kind of faith where it takes you even deeper into the belief of the kingdom of God, to where God will give you an anointing to be a prophet, to be able to speak to God in a whole way that many people cannot, because they just have faith that they can go into that supernatural place of God. And they were anointed in their wombs of their mothers to have those talents, to have those abilities, to have those opportunities. And when they were born into this world, the devil snatched them away. The Bible says that the call of God is irrevocable, meaning God will give gifts and he'll never take them away. Point example, Lucifer was the most beautiful angel that God had ever created. And he had the gift of music. And even though he fell, he still had the gift of music. And he still had that beauty within him, where the Bible says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Satan still has those abilities and those talents. And that's why he was able to pull 1/3 of the angels from heaven to rebel against God. Because he has such a great influence and a talent that God gave to him. And God says, I'm not going to take it away from you. So God will give you the abilities and the talents, whether you honor him or not, he's going to bless you. Now you can use those gifts to honor God or to blaspheme God. As a Christian today, we must recognize our talent, our ability, our time on this earth, and are we going to bless God and advance his kingdom, or are we just going to waste our time? You're not going to waste God's time, but you can definitely waste your time. Now, let me just tell you this. God has not called us to be successful, but faithful. That is a whole lot right there. God has not called us to be successful, but faithful. Just look at the martyrs. Look at Stephen the martyr. He was not successful. They killed him, but he was faithful. And so we need to understand, are we reaching towards success, or are we reaching towards being faithful to the Lord? In 1 Corinthians 16, 13 through 14, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. The Bible says God is love. And so let all you do be done with God, for God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let all you do be done with love. Everything we do is not always going to be done right and perfect. But when you recognize what you've done wrong, you need to make amends. Romans 12, 4 through 13, Paul writes to the church in Rome. Why? Because this was a Gentile church that needed to understand how the family of God operates. And I believe so much of the church today has lost the ability to understand how we as a church operate, how we're called to operate. Romans 12, 4 through 13 says this, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them and always be eager to practice hospitality. You know how we become perfect in doing these things? Through time, trial, error, and yes, succeeding at times. And sometimes you get it and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're faithful and sometimes you're not. But God is always faithful. And so there is always going to be opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And what you do with that time will teach you more and more as you live day by day how to be wise in the kingdom of God and how to advance the kingdom of God going forward. Now, one thing we have to understand here is that we are all one part of the body of Christ. And so we have to bear with each other. Iron sharpens iron. We have to understand that your thought process is not the same as another thought process, meaning, you know, sometimes in my ministry, I've gotten upset because some people just didn't get it. There's some people weren't following the teaching. And I'm like, what's the deal? You know, why aren't they getting, you know, we're all at different places. But as long as we're on the walk with Jesus Christ, God is working with all of us. Amen. And so we have to respect each other's place in the body of Christ. We have to respect each other's time that God has put into our life and that we're putting into the kingdom of God. We have to understand that. And when we do it in love, when we do it understanding that we need to be in faith, that we need to be brave, that we need to be strong, because there are a lot of people that are losing faith today. There are a lot of people that are losing their place in the kingdom of God. Today, the world is being shaken. The kingdom of God has been shaken, and people have been falling off one after the other, after the other, after the other. And why is that? Because the Bible told us that there would be a time of testing, that there would be a time of sifting. And how does that happen? When the enemy whispers in your ear and tells you a lie. We need to be able to understand the voice of the devil from the voice of God. We know other voices and opinions are out there, but when you are in the Word and when you're in prayer, you'll know what's of God and what's not of God. You'll know. And we are living in such incredibly deceiving times. The body of Christ. Now, I do want to say this because let me just stop for just a moment in this. On Wednesday, we're going to talk about the apostate church versus the true Bible-believing church in America. Now, I just want to tell you a little thing here. There are certain denominations within Christianity, and I'm not going to name them right now, but Wednesday night I will. There are certain denominations within Christendom that are pushing forth the acceptance of all of these liberal ideas, this wokeism, this transgenderism, and all of these things that go against the Bible. And you can say very easily, well, you know, I don't believe that, so it's okay. You got to understand something. The apostasy, meaning falling away, is coming greater than you've ever thought before. So when these certain denominations push these things, it will eventually affect the whole move of Christianity. the Western Hemisphere of Christianity. And it's happening before our very eyes. The New Apostolic Reformation, NAR, N-A-R, it's a teaching that happened 25, 30 years ago that came about. And it today, it's very powerful. It's, you'll find that movement within Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, non-denominational churches. You'll see it. And so there's no set organization with the New Apostolic Reformation like there would be with any other religion, you know, like the Mormons. They have a certain base, a headquarters. This is just a teaching that's filtering out. And that is how it is in the last days with the great apostasy that's coming. There's just false teachings that are filtering out into the whole of the body of Christ. We have to understand that we need to be mindful with the time that we have, with the talent and the abilities that we have, that as we're in personal prayer with Jesus, that as we're in Bible study time with Jesus, then we'll be in check with the body of Christ. And we'll understand what's true and what's not true when someone thinks or says they're speaking for Jesus. You need to know the written word of God yourself. And you'll be able to identify those who are apostate from those who are spirit-filled of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But we waste a lot of our talent. We waste a lot of our talent on other things that have nothing to do with the eternal things of heaven. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men so they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, yes, when you give, the Bible says, don't be announcing that with trumpets. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, right and left. You know what I'm saying? You want to do, give, serve, and not have the attitude of you want to be recognized, okay? But at the same time, when you do the works of God, when you honor God with your talents and your abilities, people will see that. But if you give the glory to God, then it will fall in proper place. A lot of people will come up to you throughout the year and say, "Pastor, that was a great sermon. Praise God." I could say, one, "Oh, thank you. Praise the Lord." That's wrong. Or I could say two. Number two, I could say, "It's His word. It's His spirit. All glory to Him." Why? Because He is the one that's directing. He is the one that's leading. He is the one that's giving wisdom. And so whenever you do something, whenever you give, whenever you serve, let all of that be directed to the glory of Him. Never take credit. And in doing that, you will be the light of the world. You will be the light that is a lampstand, the lamp that's put on a lampstand on the table that gives light to all in the house. The society today is dark, and there needs to be light. The light of God needs to push back the darkness today. And I'm telling you, as day goes by, people in nations and government and in media and in entertainment and financial, you name it, they're being exposed for who they are. God haters. And Jesus said, if they hated Him, they will hate you. But our business, Christian, is to advance the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." Why? Because He is in you. He is in you. And the more you allow Christ to shine in you, the more you will make an impact in your community, in your family, in your church. Do the things that you know Christ would want you to do. That's a battle with every Christian. We struggle with Jesus on that, don't we? We really do. Look at 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as each one of you has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have a gift, minister it, be a good steward of it, because this is God's grace. What is grace? He's given you something you do not deserve. Time, talent, treasure. You do not deserve these things. But if you honor God with these things, you're going to see the glory of God. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, again, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. You see what I'm saying? You can't take credit for any of these things. It is the gift from God. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. But Christian, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Before we were born, he planned out your life. And you can't take credit for this. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I have 15 years of ministry missing in my life. You know, I should be in my 37th year of ministry, to be honest with you. That's when I was originally first started serving the Lord in ministry. But I'm going into my 20th year. But I should be 37 years in the ministry today. I started when I was 16. But for 15 of those years, I backslid. I walked away from God. I began to understand God had a plan for me. And it scared me. It scared me. But when I came back to the Lord as a man, as a full-grown man, I said, I could hear the Holy Spirit says, oh, I have so much to do in you. I have so much, but we're not going to rush, but I'm going to get you caught up. And not only that, but I remember the first Sunday I preached as a senior pastor at Grace Christian Center almost 17 years ago. I remember looking in the mirror, I was putting on my dress shirt and everything. I was, you know, oh, do I look? How do I look? You know, men, you know how you are, right, Caesar? You know how you look in the mirror. And I'm told Anna that day, and I'll tell you this. The Lord said, I heard in my spirit, he says, oh, you look so good. Wait till I'm done with you. And, you know, when I heard that, it brought a holy fear into me. I'm like, and all these years later, I'm barely beginning to understand what that meant. It means, I love you, I will not abandon you, saith the Lord, but you're going to be tried, you're going to be tested, and you may even fail, but you're going to get back up, and you're going to keep going forward, because what I put into you will be enough. Do not give up on Jesus, because he will never give up on you. You need to hear that. Because you may enter into the biggest testing of your life tomorrow morning. And many in my day are walking away from the plan of God. Many. The devil is an ancient creature. He knows how to uproot you. Don't you ever think that you can defeat the devil, because you cannot. You will fail. He is a powerful enemy to be reckoned with. It is only through the Holy Spirit can you find the victory of Jesus daily. There is no other way. Absolutely not. You must be in fellowship with Christ. Joseph was a man of many talents, abilities, opportunities, dreams. Joseph was the 11th of 12 brothers. He was favored by his dad. Some of you guys, were y'all a favorite of your kid, of your siblings? I know I'm the favorite in my siblings. Yeah, my two sisters, they'll deny it, but they know mama loves me the best. She loves them too, yeah, you know. But she loves me the best. Joseph's daddy, Jacob, Israel, He loved his boys, but he loved Joseph. And Joseph was a man who lived a life that images the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Nowhere in the Bible do we really recall Joseph being recorded as sinning against God. And I think that we could look briefly at Joseph when we're talking about talent, abilities, opportunities, dreams. Do you have dreams? You know, God used to bless me with the gift of interpreting dreams for people. And for many years, I was able to do that. And I became full of pride. And that interpretation stopped. And I used to have so many dreams about prophetic things, things that were coming to pass. And I would begin to share these things with certain people. And I remember at a prayer meeting one time, this other minister said, "Here's a prophet because he dreams." And you know, all that kind of blew me up over the years until I came to a crashing fall. You know, and can we be honest in the house of God? And so I'm going to tell you, for years, I had no more dreams. Because those dreams can only come from God. And it's only here within the past year or so that the Lord has been able to bring me back slowly to understanding some things and bringing me dreams. And that's why I speak about prophetic things, about that, because I've dreamed about these things and I've seen these things come to pass. I've had dreams. Things I don't even share with Anna. Why? Because God says, hold that to yourself. And Anna knows that, because sometimes Anna in the past has said, "You never told me that," or you know, something like that. I've seen some other things in my dreams over the years. And then I cannot say nothing. But you may hear it in my preaching. But it's not outright saying, "I dreamed about it, and here it is, thus saith the Lord." But one point of why I'm telling you this is because when God gives you an ability, a talent, and you don't respect it and honor him with it, and then when he brings that to a halt temporarily, it can wound you so deeply. It can wound you so deeply, and it'll bring you to a place of humility, humble, being humble, to where you desire, say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Please let not your spirit depart from me, Lord." And sometimes you need to be broken to be made new again. I respect Joseph. Man, apart from Jesus, Joseph was an incredible man of God. You know, he had favor from his father, even though his brothers despised him. Now, church, the world will despise you. Your brethren will despise you. Jesus said they hated him, they will hate you. Now you got to make up your mind. Are you going to be a man pleaser, a people pleaser, or a God pleaser? Seriously, you really have to make up your mind. Because that is what prevents you from doing the things God has called you to do, from being where God has called you to be. Now think about this. God will always allow you to be tested so that you can prove that you can be trusted. God will allow you to be tested to prove that you can be trusted with talents and opportunities. Do you think Joseph would willingly go into slavery, being sold into slavery by his brothers? But he went. He cried, my brothers, as they sold him. And you're going to get sold out in this world, Christian. People will backstab you. People will slander your name. People will gossip about you. But understand that God is going to get the glory out of it. That God is leading you to a place of testing, to the wilderness. And Joseph didn't realize this, but Joseph was a dreamer. At the time, he dreamed. He had many dreams before he was sold into slavery. God gave him insight. God gave him vision. God gave him dreams. And God will do that to the one who can be trusted. And yet he was going to be tested by being sold into slavery by his brothers. And when he became a slave in Potiphar's house, Joseph was put in charge. Yes, he was tested. And he was found to be fit. Who is this Hebrew slave? He is amazing. Wisdom beyond measure. You take charge of my house when I am not here, said Potiphar, most likely, you know? And yet the test came, the lusting of Potiphar's wife. Joseph said, absolutely not. You could take everything I have, my coat, whatever, you will not have me. And he fled. He was falsely accused of assault. He was put into prison. He became trusted by the guards for certain duties. And guess what? The dreams returned. The opportunity came. And the path to freedom for Joseph would soon follow, where he would be set free once again. He had been in there for years. And sometimes you think, man, I've been in this season for 4, 5, 6, 7 years. How long was Joseph there? For a long time. But he did not give up. Doesn't say Joseph never complained. That was said about Job. Job never sinned against God. He never said nothing. But it doesn't say Joseph never complained. It just said Joseph didn't give up. Joseph kept going forward. Joseph understood the talents that God had put into him. And so Joseph treasured those things. He told Potiphar's wife, how can I sin against my God? See, when you sin against your God, you'll be put on time out. You can waste precious time, opportunities. But Joseph passed all of those tests. He gave interpretation to the dreams of two inmates. It broke him out of jail. And all of a sudden, the Pharaoh has dreams, and he brings interpretation to the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, his dreams, and it would elevate Joseph to be a man reckoned with. Eventually, Joseph would become the second most powerful man in the whole civilized world, because he safeguarded his talents. Because he used his talents for the glory of God, Joseph was a man to be reckoned with. Joseph was a man in charge. Some of us can't even lead our own homes. Our homes are all a mess. And I'm not just talking spiritually, but even physically. There's junk everywhere. There's dirty clothes everywhere. Everything's a mess. I remember one time when me and Anna first went to church, first started going to church, the pastor's wife went up there and said, you know, she said something, if your house is a mess right now and you're here at church, when you get home, go clean your house. She said that. He said, because that symbolizes a lot of what's going on in your life. And was our house has never been a mess. Our house has always been nice, because Anna's always kept a clean home, always. And we looked at each other, we kind of laughed because you know, it's true. We've seen people, we've known people, and we saw that's a true thing, you know? And so, man, I don't know if I'm convicting somebody right now, but you might need to go wash. Man, I got to go start washing clothes today. I won't be done till Thursday. It's okay. His dreams would bring relief to all the world. There was a coming catastrophic famine. And yet, because Joseph was able to interpret dreams, to understand dreams, to have dreams, eventually this would bring freedom to Israel. It would bring freedom to all the peoples of the world. They would come to Joseph for food. He would be a light, a city on a hill that shined its light. And people would come from out of darkness into his light. Why? Because the light of God was in him. Because he honored God with his talents. He honored God with the wisdom that God had given to him. To be able to have that wisdom, say, okay, we're going to, all these crops, we're going to raise up all these crops. We're going to build barns and we're going to store them. We're going to do this. We're going to sell this at this price. We're going to do that. And because Joseph honored God with wisdom, with talents, lives were spared. And today, the gates of hell are so wide that many will go to hell. Many shall find it, said Jesus. Why? Because the workers are few. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. People are not honoring God by answering the call of God. Churches are struggling. Bible-believing, spirit-filled churches are struggling because there's too many just sitting on the sidelines complaining, living selfishly, living for just today and not for eternity. And I'm not telling anybody anything you online that I ain't done myself. You know, I remember I went to the church in 2003 when I started going to church again. I sat for about 4 or 5 weeks in the pew. And I'm like looking around. You know, praise God, I love the word, I love the music. But I'm like, I got to do something. Remember I told my wife, I got to do something. I can't just sit here in the service. And I went up to one of the ushers, and this was a big church, mega church. I said, hey, you know, I've been coming here for so many weeks. You know, is there something I could do? Can I be a prayer warrior or something? Because they'd have prayer altar call, people pray with other people. And I'm like, well, no. You know, they had the wisdom to understand. I was a newcomer. I was, too young for that. And they said, one guy talked to me a little while, got some information on me. And he said, oh, you'd be a good usher. Why don't you be an usher? And they sent me the classes to be an usher and how to talk to people, how to do all the ins and outs of being a good usher. And I got my badge. Man, I was so happy, man. You know, they gave me a badge. You know, it said the church's name. It had my name on there. And I said, this is my badge. I'm an usher. And I would put that thing on. And I held only one suit. I had to wear a suit to be an usher. And for the 9 months I was an usher at that church, I'd wear that same suit all the time, you know? I had no money, but I had that same suit. I wore it all the time. And I was always excited to just go and just, I'd even go to the Spanish service. I understood Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, but I just wanted to be there. We go to the Spanish fellowships, the food fellowships. I don't understand nothing they were saying. They're all talking in Spanish, and I'm just like, just listening, and to go eat the good food, and I just knew they were praising God. And the church, mind me, was 45 minutes away from here. So I was going 4 times a week to church, working 70 hours a week. I just had to be in the house of God. I had to serve. I had to do something. And I think back all these years later, 20 years, as a matter of fact, this summer will be 20 years that I've been back with the Lord when I started that. And I think back the passion. I think back to the fever that I had. You know, I couldn't just sit in the pews. I had to do something. I had to get going. I really don't see that in churches today. I don't. People just come, get what they want, and they go. And what's hurting it, you know, we're supposed to do this as a body. Joseph had to go and go through all that he went through, but eventually the plan was to bring Israel back to reunion. Because in the heart of God, it's about family being together. It's about using your gifts to bless each other so God gets the glory. Amen. The testing of God's talents upon a believer, it will always bring salvation. Now, I know, and I'm boasting in Jesus only by saying this, absolutely, that by His hand alone, when I go to heaven, there will be many people that will come up to me and say, thank you, Brother Michael. Thank you, Brother Michael. I was able to hear the word of God because you heard the call of God. And I heard the gospel and I got saved. There's a song out there called Thank you, Jesus, for giving to the Lord. I was lost, but now I'm found. You know, when you give unto the Lord, one day you'll be in heaven and people will come to you and they'll tell you, thank you. Because you gave unto the Lord, and that's why I'm here. Joseph's brothers, when they found out that Joseph was this second high command in all of Egypt, and they saw him after Joseph took off the stuff he had, the Egyptian stuff that he had on him, they saw that and they were like, brother, we thought you were dead. People think Jesus is a myth. Jesus is dead, but Jesus is alive. And the Bible says that they wept greatly, that Joseph embraced his brothers and they embraced him and they hugged each other and they wept greatly. And the first thing Joseph said was, my father, is he alive still? And he said, oh, he's alive and well. And he said, that's the heart of God right there, that we are sharing together, that we're walking together through, though there may be a famine going on out there, we're together and we're going to share each other's burdens. And we're going to help each other through our talents and time to get through these things together. But I see the opposite happening. I see the opposite happening on my watch as a pastor. I see the opposite happening in the churches. No one's wanting to embrace. No one's wanting to serve. No one's willing to go through famine, through slavery, through hardship, through the wilderness, through abandonment, through persecution. Nobody's willing to do that for the sake of down the road bringing a reunification of God's people. People today are stuck in addictions. They're stuck in perversions. They're stuck in idolatry. They're stuck in selfishness. You know, I know that all of God's people today, the ones, and you know who you are. You've been walking, you've been faithful, and on the outside it may look all nice and pretty, but on the inside you're beat up. You're in a sense of a humanity word understanding, you're tired. But you need to come to Jesus, and you need to give it all to him. And I believe that's what Joseph would do, because that's what Daniel did. They told Daniel, you cannot pray to no one else. You cannot pray only to Nebuchadnezzar, only to this golden image, whatever. But Daniel said he would do it 3 times a day. He'd pray as his habit he was doing. He continued to do what he knew what was right. And when the whole world today is doing what's wrong, you need to do what the Bible says is right to do. You need to do it. I see a lot of lack of faith in God's people today. And the Bible says that my people shall live by faith. A lot of people in America who claim to be Christians are going to die because they're not living by faith. If you're not living by faith, you're going to die. My people shall live by faith. What does that mean? It takes faith to give of your time. It takes faith to give of your talents. And it takes faith to give of your treasure. If you're going to give, it's got to be a sacrifice, and you got to feel it. You know why some of you are poor spiritually, physically? Because you're not willing to give unto the Lord. That's it. And sadly, there are people that don't give, and yet they have all this blessing. And let me tell you something. The devil knows how to bless too. That's why he told Jesus, if you will worship me, I will give all this unto you. The devil has a lot to bless you with. Because you trust in your own ability. You trust in your own strength. You trust in your own wisdom. And so when you give, you must feel it. Because Abraham felt it. The patriarchs felt it. Abraham and his son Isaac, ready to sacrifice. Abraham coming back and told all the men in his house, we're going to do circumcision. What? You sure you heard from the Lord? What? Circumcision? No, I don't think so, Abraham. No, this is a sacrifice, man. You're going to feel it. Whoo! How would that work out today? It was a sign of, it was a sign, it was a covenant of a sign of being separated unto God, of the house being dedicated to God. Matthew 25:14-30, as I close with this. Let me just read this. Bear with me. Jesus says this. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. This is very symbolic of Christ and the church. Amen? Verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents, talents, abilities, opportunities, the anointing, etc. It says, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and he made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had 5 talents came, brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides these. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents come and said, Lord, you have delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, into hell. This is symbolic of the church. There are people in the church, you know, some, they went above and beyond. Look, Lord, look what I did for your glory. Amen. Look, Lord, look what I did. It's all for you. Come, enter into my rest. Well, Lord, I was afraid. I had fear. And I hid. I buried in the ground as though a dead thing. I didn't believe. I didn't live by faith. Though I had an ability and just 1 opportunity, I couldn't trust you with it. And in this sense, he's talking about money. Why is that money? But see, the spirit of mammon, what I said from the very beginning of this series, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money itself is not evil, but the love of money. This man loved this more than what he was called to do for the Lord. And he buried it and he hid it. And there are some people in the church today, their lives are buried. They're already dead. They're already dead. They refuse to be resurrected from the dead. They refuse to trust God and to walk in the glory of Christ. And it reflects, it shows in their giving of their time, their talents, and their treasure. If you can trust God with your soul for salvation, can't you trust him with the time that you have here on earth? If you can trust God with the salvation of your soul, can't you trust God with the talents that he's given you to do a good work on this earth? If you could trust God with the salvation of your soul, can't you trust God with the treasures that he's called you to give, to be a giver and not a taker? Amen. And because of this, because you trust, the kingdom of God is advanced. It's advanced. When you come in and you lay this treasure, you know, so to speak, as they did in the early church, they would bring it in, they lay it at the feet of the apostles. Why would they lay it at the feet of the apostles? Because the leadership of the church, it's the one who, when those blessings come into the house of God, they are responsible to do and distribute what needs to be done with that. You do your part, they do their part, God does his part. And a lot of times the church doesn't do anything because it hadn't even been brought to the altar. People are so consumed by the idolatry that Americana produces. The symbolism of America, how you live your life in America. You know, Michael, my son, he's I think he told me years ago when he first became a cop that he's like, Dad, I go into people's houses, they have these $500,000 homes, but no furniture. They don't even have curtains. They got bed sheets on their windows. They can't even afford to buy right curtains. Because they're chasing after something that's not intended for them. Matthew 6:33 says, first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. But Joseph was a man who said, you know, whether I'm a slave or whether I'm the second in command, Joseph said, I'm going to honor God with all he's given me. And you know, the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, he knew the God of Joseph. Just like Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar knew the God of Daniel. Because these men, they represented God because they could be trusted to be a light in a dark place with the talents they had. Time, talent, treasure. God is looking for people like that today. Will you answer the call? Will you give above and beyond? Or will you just continue to give that little like Cain? Cain just gave something just to say he gave. Or will you be like the widow who gave the two bits because it was all she ever had? She had nothing left. Time, talent, treasure. This is what advances the kingdom of God. God loves people through his people. And if Grace Christian Center is your home, so that you can reap. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And we're going to go even a little bit deeper, if the Lord tarries, next Sunday with part 5. So receive this, advance in the kingdom, part 4. Amen? Amen. Give God praise in this house. Praise the Lord.